Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and you have tuned in to Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm good, Parrish. Celebrating the first day of the busy season, as I call it. It's the first day for spring practice at Mississippi State, which means all four sports that I cover are going on simultaneously. And, so, a lot of people think that football season's our busiest season back in the fall, and it's really not. It's actually this time of year right now when all the sports start overlapping, and you're covering multiple sports and doing different things on different days, and this is the busiest time of year.
So the busy season, as you call it, it's always right after Mardi Gras. Is that right? The busy season? Is that?
Well, I'm not a Louisiana guy, so Mardi Gras means nothing to me.
Well, I tell you what, I haven't lived in Louisiana in many years, but I do remember the calendar, and I know that there's Mardi Gras and Lent and Easter. And my grandmother used to say that you don't get your hopes up about this warm weather until after Easter. You're always going to have a cool spell around Easter. That's what she says. And if it gets down into the 60s or something, I always think of my grandmother. Hey, folks, before we move on, I want to tell you about some other podcasts to search for. Productions of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's coming to you every Wednesday. Also, lots of high school basketball state tournament coverage going on right now. So be sure to check those out. And Logan and I are here with you every week with Double Coverage. Logan, you talk about the busy season, man, with all the sports in play, football, basketball, baseball, women's basketball. And then you can throw in another kind of sport of its own with the NCAA investigation at Ole Miss. That took another turn last week when the school revealed eight more alleged violations by the NCAA. We covered that last week, but since then we're seeing reports of a tape that Ole Miss has in its possession that involves Leo Lewis and his recruiting and some allegedly damaging information there. But that kind of depends on what report you are listening to or what report you're reading. I know AL.com had a story on Tuesday that the headline said there's no smoking gun there. There was a source that said Leo Lewis's mother did not ask for money. Or, you know, so you got all this going on, and I think you're going to see more things like this pop up until Ole Miss goes before the Committee on Infractions and until this really comes to a completion. Right now, you know, I think a lot of Ole Miss fans are glad to have the information out there and at least have that part of the process complete, the investigative process. But there's still a lot to be done here, and the school right now is working on its response. You know, there's that going on, and when we talk about rumors and other things popping up, I was shown a text message earlier this week that allegedly originated from Leo Lewis and was sent to an Ole Miss player, in which Lewis admitted accepting a large amount of cash from Mississippi State. But, I just think these are things we're going to see right now. Let's talk about Leo Lewis for a little bit, Logan. If he has, in fact, been granted immunity by the NCAA in exchange for testimony, in exchange for talking about his recruitment by Ole Miss, none of this is going to be held against him. You know, immunity, you know, is kind of self-explanatory. But my question is, you know, does immunity extend to Mississippi State? Does it extend to another school? You know, Leo Lewis has immunity, but if the NCAA learns something from talking to Leo Lewis, then goes and corroborates it with two or three other sources, you know, might they come back on Mississippi State? I think that's a question that's kind of left unanswered right now.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either, Harris. I mean, I've looked into all that. I mean, it's all hearsay, you know, for right now. You know, there's really no concrete evidence one way or the other. And, you know, I did some asking around about it last week when all that stuff started surfacing, and, you know, I was just frankly told immunity being immunity. And, you know, right now there's really no concern on Mississippi State's part that they're going to be drugged down into this mess either, you know, and right now everything's clear, you know, on their end, and they're just talking about starting spring football. You know, there's really nothing, you know, going on here. I don't think anybody's panicking that Mississippi State's going to be drugged into it. I mean, right now it's all clear, you know, on this end. So unless something comes out, there is some type of smoking gun somewhere else that, you know, I guess they'll cross that bridge when it gets there. But you know, right now there's really nothing, you know, there's any concern on Mississippi State's part.
I don't think anything is going to come back and stick to Mississippi State on this. I think the NCAA would look the other way. I don't think they're going to pursue it. Even if there's something there, I don't think they'll pursue it, because if they do, they're never going to get another athlete at any school to assist them in any investigation with the promise of immunity. You know, if that's what this were to become, then that deal of, hey, we're going to take care of you if you talk to us, well, that's, you know, that really didn't work out that way. So I don't think this is going to come back and stick on Mississippi State for that reason. But, you know, that's where we are. And like I said, I think you're going to see these things come up and deal with rumors and other things, you know, for the next few months, because that's where we are in the process. Let's talk about football on the field a little bit. Logan, Ole Miss also beginning spring football, trying to get away from the NCAA discussion. They really couldn't do that at the spring football press conference. I guess the first handful of questions were all NCAA related, and Hugh Freeze knew that was coming, and you know, he just kind of stood there and answered them the best that he could. And eventually we did talk about the Rebels on the field a little bit. And you know, it's an interesting time on the field for all of the NCAA stuff that's going on. This is still a team with a lot of talent on offense. Now, that depth is not going to be there with scholarship cuts and things like that. And, you know, they're trying to rebuild themselves defensively, and that's harder to do with some of the scholarship limitations. But they do go in with an established starter at quarterback in Shea Patterson. And the depth behind him is kind of interesting. The only player with any experience is Jason Pellerin, who will be a third-year sophomore. And he's a guy that they hope they're going to be able to move to tight end or some kind of a H-back position. But behind Pellerin, they only have two scholarship quarterbacks, and one is not there yet. Alex Faneuil, the freshman, will come in the summer. They have going through spring right now Jordan Tamu, the junior college transfer who signed in December. So that's kind of the situation behind Patterson. They think Patterson can be really good, but it's a little iffy behind him right now. I think you'll see Pellerin eventually move to another position because they like him so much athletically. They want to get him on the field. But I do think that if something bad were to happen to Shea Patterson, that Pellerin would never be far away. He could quickly move back to a quarterback and get back in the saddle there if he needed to. Ole Miss installing two new systems this spring while trying to block out the NCAA discussion. Two new coordinators there, offensive coordinator Phil Longo is supposed to come in and, you know, really help this team run the ball better. And there are some interesting possibilities at running back. They lose Akeem Judd, the starter, but they get Eric Swinney, one of the top 15 running backs in the high school signing class of 2015. They get him back from an ACL tear. That's now his second major injury as a college athlete, so need to see how he's going to respond. And Jordan Wilkins comes back. Remember, Wilkins was really playing well at the end of 2015, running with strength and power, but missed 2016 not because of injury, but because of an administrative error regarding academics. So he's been very eager to get back on the field. So you get two talented players back in the mix that you didn't have in 2016. And I think sophomore Devon Penniman is somebody to keep an eye on. He's a freshman last year who had a lot of hype, a lot of buzz, but played behind some more experienced players, and then had a couple of injuries in the mix, and didn't really do anything dynamic as a first year player. So some interesting possibilities there at running back as Ole Miss tries to learn a new offense. So what's going on with the Bulldogs?
Well, a little bit of the same type of things going on there. I mean, obviously, new defense coordinator Todd Grantham is going to be installing new defense. Really don't know exactly what type of schemes he's going to be running. Obviously, Mississippi State's very familiar with running a new defense. They just had to do it last spring with Peter Sermon, and obviously things didn't work out there. He's going to that 3-4 look defense, finished 110th in the country in total defense. So that's not where Mississippi State wants to be. Todd Grantham's defenses have been traditionally very good against the run, and that's something Mississippi State's hoping to get back to, is defending the run well, and that's something they didn't do good a year ago under Peter Sermon. But, he's not the only coach that's going to be new to the team. They've got three new coaches besides Todd Grantham coming in. D.J. Looney's coming in as the tight ends coach. Brett Elliott coming in as the quarterback's coach. But those two guys are familiar with this team. D.J. Looney played here at Mississippi State 2 years ago, then came on as a graduate assistant. And Brett Elliott was a graduate assistant working with the quarterbacks a few years ago when Dak Prescott was here. So those guys are familiar with the program. Nick Fitzgerald's worked with Brett Elliott before, so they're familiar with each other. So even though they're coming back to the team this year, there's some familiarity there. And then they've got Ron English coming in to coach the safeties. He's a former head coach at Eastern Michigan, and he'll get his first opportunity to work with the safeties. But there's some question marks at a couple of positions for Mississippi State, mainly at center. Mississippi State's going into the 2017 with a center that's never taken a snap in a college football game. They're going to have to find some new guys there. They've had several different guys that worked out there. Back there in bowl practice, I think it was four or five different guys that worked out there during bowl prep, but none of them really established themselves at that position. They graduated two seniors there last season, so going to have to find a new center this year, and they've got a lot of new guys coming in this year. 12 newcomers, or actually 13 mid-year enrollees, so it's a school record for those. 9 of those are junior college players, 4 of them are early high school graduates. So some new faces, some new places out there this spring. Gonna have to look out for that. And quarterback Nick Fitzgerald is the only experienced player coming back, and right behind him is gonna be a true freshman, early high school graduate, Keaton Thompson, and obviously very highly touted, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Louisiana this past season, put up some gaudy numbers for Landry Walker out of New Orleans. But at the same time, he's a true freshman coming in, and they're going to have to play, and he's going to be the number two quarterback going into next season because everybody else transferred out. Davey Williams transferred to school out in Texas, and Nikiano transferred to UT Chattanooga. So, Keaton Thompson's going to be their number two quarterback going into the season, and he's going to get some. He's going to get all the second team reps, and probably get some first team reps this spring. So we'll have to see how he does there, and have to see how those newcomers, those mid year enrollees, how they transition to college football. But there's a few positions that I'm looking at, guys that really didn't have a good season this past year that are kind of at risk of being passed up out there on the field. Gabe Miles, a wide receiver, didn't have a very good year. Justin Johnson, a tight end, didn't have a very good year. And Brandon Bryant, even though he was amazing as a redshirt freshman 2 years ago, he had kind of a sophomore slump last year and didn't play very well. So those guys are at risk of losing their spot if they don't have a good spring. So I'll kind of keep an eye on those three guys and see how they do this spring, see if they can gain any ground back and keep where they're at on the depth chart.
Well, Logan, it's usually about this time in the podcast here that I'm holding off my Beagle chipper as he's licking knees and licking my hand or something like that. And sometimes we even had to stop the show a little bit so I could put him outside. But I'm really missing Chipper today. We had to put him down earlier this week, and he is now buried in the backyard, which was his kingdom for 10 years. So missing Chipper today. You've probably experienced some of that too.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, you told me last week that he was not doing very well, and you take care of that for your birds.
You know, he was a good dog. So I'm missing Chipper on the podcast this morning. Talking a little basketball, Logan, I think we kind of see where these men's teams are going to fall now in the SEC tournament. It looks like State's locked into playing on the first day on Wednesday. Probably Ole Miss, surely Ole Miss in that second day on Thursday. The Rebels had an outside chance to get into a double bye at the beginning of the week, but a lot of things had to fall right, and most specifically winning at Alabama, which they did not do Wednesday, losing 70-55. Ole Miss will close the regular season at home Saturday night against South Carolina. Alabama's the number two defensive team in the SEC in points allowed and opponent field goal percentage, and they held Ole Miss to 31.1% shooting. South Carolina is the number one defensive team, so we'll see if the Rebels can fare better against a quality opponent at home. Tell me about the Bulldogs, about the women, Logan. I know they were in position to win the SEC championship and didn't finish as strong in the regular season as they'd like to.
Right, yeah. They only needed to win one of their last two to claim a spot or claim a share of the SEC overall championship, which would have been their first. But they lost both of those games. They've only lost three games all season, and two of them came in the final two games. They lost in overtime at Kentucky last Thursday, 78-75. Really nothing to hang your head about in that regard. But you had a golden opportunity against Tennessee this past Sunday, and Mississippi State didn't play well at all. Tennessee jumped out and really took control of that game right from the jump. Mississippi State shot very, very poorly in that first quarter and fell behind by a big margin. We're able to cut the lead to 10 kind of midway through the second half, and then Tennessee spurted it right back out, ended up winning that game 82-64, and Mississippi State finishes the regular season as the number two team in the SEC, 27-3 overall, 13-3 in conference play, going to be the number two seed in the SEC tournament, which has already started in Greenville, South Carolina. Mississippi State does receive the double bye. They'll actually face the winner between Ole Miss and LSU later on this evening, and they'll play their first game on Friday. So Mississippi State gets a double bye, which gives them an opportunity to kind of be rested, if they can pick up a couple of wins and go into that championship game on Sunday, which is where they played last year and lost to South Carolina in the SEC tournament championship. And South Carolina got Mississippi State. That was their first loss earlier this year, and that could be the potential matchup again this year in the championship game. I think those would be the two favorites in this tournament. And Mississippi State's obviously trying to get some momentum back after two straight losses, and trying to get back hot right before they go into the NCAA tournament. But I think that's going to be the only postseason team for Mississippi State. The Mississippi State men have lost seven straight, 11 out of their last 13. Out of those seven losses, Parrish, Mississippi State's played well over that stretch. They really, I think six of those seven losses have been by 7 points or less, so it's not like they're getting blown out in those games. They just can't get over the hump. Played South Carolina close on Tuesday night, lost by 6 over there without their leading scorer, Quindary Weatherspoon, who was out with a sprained ankle. He's kind of expected to be back on Saturday. He was a kind of a game-time decision during that South Carolina game, so they're hoping to have him back on Saturday for Senior Day when they face LSU here at home on Saturday.
Logan, let's talk about the women again a little bit. Obviously, the SEC tournament comes into play here, but what do you think the two losses do to their hopes for a number one seed in the NCAAs?
It's kind of hard to say right now. I mean, there's so many other good teams right around the country. It obviously affects them some. They're going to need to play well. I don't think they can be one and done in the tournament and still expect to be a number one seed. But, you know, if they can go into the championship game and possibly even win the championship game, I think that helps their chances tremendously because they would have some good wins over that stretch as well. But, you know, right now they're going to be – they should host. They should have, the, you know, the first two rounds here at home. And I don't know if they're still in contention for a number one seed. They're going to be kind of right on the fringe of that, you know, one way or the other. So I'm going to have to see how they do in this SEC tournament and see kind of how things play out from there.
We got a few minutes left here. Some interesting baseball matchups this weekend, Logan. I know State's going out to Oregon. Ole Miss is in a neutral site event, an SEC Big 12 matchup in Houston. The Rebels will take on Baylor Friday, then number 10 Texas Tech on Saturday, and number 1 TCU on Sunday. They will face three starters with sub-2.8 ERAs, including Texas Tech left-hander Stephen Gingery. On Saturday, he has a 1.29 ERA in 14 innings. And Logan, I guess you got to see a little bit of him in Starkville on opening weekend, didn't you?
I did, yeah. He pitched that very first game. That was a game Mississippi State lost. It was a close game, 5-2, so you know, really wasn't, you know, a high scoring game by any means, but you know, he pitched 7 innings, gave up 1 run, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks in that ball game, so gave up 4 hits over 7 innings. So Mississippi State really didn't hit him that well. Yeah. I've seen better pitchers, you know, than him, but he was very, you know, quality arm out there, kind of just, you know, what you see in the SEC, so it's definitely a quality arm out there, but, you know, nothing really overpowering, you know, with this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Ole Miss won its first 7 games, and I think people were beginning to get a lot of confidence in this team, and now they're coming off their first loss of the season against Memphis on Tuesday when they committed 4 errors. And I think that was just a reminder that as talented as this group is, it's still a young group, and there's the potential to do some things like this. So they're going to have to just really be locked in and focused every time they play. So it's still a group that's acclimating to a new environment, but you know, a talented team, and it will be interesting to see how they fare in Houston this weekend. What have been your observations of State in the early going?
Well, their offense is better than I thought it would be. You know, they've gotten some real good production out of the top 4 hitters in that lineup. Jake Mangum, obviously, top of the lineup. Luke Alexander in the 2-hole. Ryan Gridley had a really good weekend. He kind of struggled that first weekend, but bounced back and had a really strong weekend in weekend number 2. In that 3-hole, and then Brent Rooker, it was the National Hitter of the Week, and then 4-hole had an outstanding week last week. And, you know, but the thing that's kind of struck out to me is they're striking out a lot, and that's something that Andy Canizero is wanting to correct. You know, you're just not putting the ball in play, not being competitive at the plate, especially the 5 through 8 guys in the lineup who really struggle with the strikeouts. And that's something he's wanting to try to remedy. Starting pitching has kind of been hit and miss. You know, they've had some good starts by some guys. They've had some poor starts by some guys. But the bullpen's kind of been the real disappointment at the team. And they've really struggled out of the bullpen to finish out games. They've lost a couple of games this season already. Just blowing big leads with that bullpen. Had some injured arms out there. And, you know, they're going up to Oregon with Ryan Rigby and Blake Smith on the shelf. You know, those are guys that are not going to be able to pitch up there. Eli Marrero is not going to be behind the plate for that Oregon series. So, you know, they got some injuries going on there that they have. You know, he's been really impressed with Riley Self out of the bullpen. He feels good about Spencer Price. And he's actually moving Graham Ashcraft from the starter's role and going to put him at the back end of that bullpen to kind of remedy some of those injuries that he's had. Graham Ashcraft's the guy that can run the ball up there around 98 miles an hour out of the bullpen. He's kind of been in the starter's role the first couple of weekends, and that's kind of affected his velocity. But, you know, you bring a guy throwing 98 out of the bullpen, that's pretty good, and they're going to see how he does in that role this weekend.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out the memo our news podcast, All Things Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's coming to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I will be back here with you next week, next Thursday, for another edition of Double Coverage. Come join us.